music. Subject: International Rescue.
Now we're sitting on the biggest bomb man's ever made.
Alert the World Aquanaut Security Patrol.
Sam Logan and John Archie. Airborne. Over.
Interceptors. Immediate launch.
You're fired.
Captain Scarlet is now indestructible.
September 13th.
And welcome back to Operation Andathorn. This is the podcast where I force my poor wife to watch the first episode from every Gerry Anderson series that is available. And we do that by randomly selecting three options from this jar. And then Catherine gets to pick one of those to watch. And last week, we watched New Captain Scarlet. We started with the very newest thing that was available.
Yes.
But you had fun,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
New Captain Scarlet got a 5 out of 10. We're going to try and get a score out of Catherine every
I don't know what I'm basing it off of, but I think it'll eventually become clear.
Yeah, so eventually sort of a system will form.
I know some things will be worse, and I know some things will be better, so I put it in the middle.
So as ever, obviously there are all the options of different series and different standalone pilot episodes, as well as 5 lifelines that are available to use once each throughout the series. None have been used yet, but they will enable Catherine to make changes or swap for a different episode and all sorts of different things, and we shall see what happens this week. So
if you want to know what they all are, I suggest you listen to our first episode of
exactly,
the podcast.
Exactly.
We go into in-depth explanation of this whole process.
Yes. So here we go, rattling the jar around, trying to mix them up as best as I can. There we go. Right.
The tension.
So, Catherine will now pick out 3 options blindly.
Bet one of these will be one I picked last week. I can just tell.
I have given it a good mix, but we'll see what happens.
Okay. I got 3.
All right. Well, read them out.
I got 4. Oh. I didn't look at it. Don't
okay. All right. Okay. We now have 3.
All right. First one is Supercar Rescue from
1961. Ooh.
Second episode is, well, is this an episode? I'm not even sure. The Day After Tomorrow, Into Infinity, 1975.
That is a, standalone pilot.
That would be a first for me watching that one.
You've never seen it?
I don't think I've seen it.
I must have showed it to you at some point, but yeah, okay.
And Joe 90, The Most Special Agent from 1968.
Interesting selection there. Okay. What one are you going to go for?
I'm going to go for, let's give it a go, The Day After Tomorrow, Into Infinity.
Wow! Okay. You went for the most obscure choice there. But okay, we're going to watch The Day After Tomorrow, Into Infinity from 1975. I'm really curious to see how this goes.
I have no idea what I'm getting myself into.
It is interesting. Okay, let's get on with it. Let's go and watch The Day After Tomorrow, Into Infinity.
The Day After Tomorrow, Into Infinity was a one-off television special produced by Gerry Anderson for broadcast in December 1975. The plot concerns the mission of the lightship Altares and its journey beyond the solar system to seek out Earth-like planets for potential colonization. 2 family units make up the crew, with children David and Jane forming integral parts of the team, alongside Brian Blessed as Dr. Tom Bowen, Joanna Dunham as Dr. Anna Bowen, and Nick Tate as Captain Harry Masters. Produced for educational purposes, The Day After Tomorrow discusses many scientific theories, with particular focus on Albert Einstein's theory of relativity. Jack and Catherine are on standby to give you their thoughts on this one-off Anderson adventure.
So that was The Day After Tomorrow, Into Infinity.
Yes, it was.
What did you think?
I didn't have any sort of expectations. I never heard much about it or anything like that, but it was pretty good. There was some creative thinking that went on there. I particularly like what they did with the kids. It just like it makes sense for people to bring their families along when, yeah, like they could, their children would be older than them when they came back and everything. But I thought that it was good that, like, obviously the kids were extremely well educated as well, and like very much part of the team and very capable. And, you know, they're still kids, like, you know, Jane wanting to save her father versus sort of everyone.
Yeah.
But I quite like that they did that. I thought it made sense for kids to sort of have that kind of a role model.
What did you think about the idea of, yeah, approaching space travel in a family atmosphere? Do you think that worked quite well then?
I think it worked quite well. I think, I mean, it's too much to say, like, well, of course it wouldn't go that smoothly.
I mean, it didn't go that smoothly, did it?
No, but I mean, in terms of, like, everyone getting along and everything, like, you know, the kids getting along all the time, but...
But did the kids get along?
As well as they could have, which is sad, isn't it? That, like, they don't have, like, a BFF or anything. They're never going to have a good friend. Like, it's always going to be their parents.
They're stuck together, yeah.
And this other child, they sort of seem to get along. Like, they chat, but they're not, like, close.
I thought it was interesting, actually, what was going on there. No, there was no dialogue about it, but when David and Jane are talking about, oh, would you want to go back to Earth? And David's like, well, I would really like to land on another planet. And when the decision comes to leave to go back to Earth, you know, David's like, yes, let's do it. And Jane's sort of, you can tell, a bit hesitant. And there's this, David gives her this look of sort of,
you better.
You better. I want to go explore new planets. So she reluctantly gives in. And I'm just like, that is all really interesting. It's an interesting dynamic. I use the word interesting a lot, but I think it is. I think it's a very creative dynamic and not something that had been done too much before. I guess the series Lost in Space focused on a family, you know, exploring space. So it's not the first time it's been done, but it was interesting. So what do you think that was generally? I'll tell you that this is the only one. There was no other. It wasn't a series. This was a standalone
thing. Wonder where this would have gone.
Okay.
I mean, well, obviously, like, they've sort of set it up so that it can't go, like, they can't go back to Earth or anything.
Right.
But yes, I went, like, they just sort of, yeah, I mean, I guess a lot of things sort of happened that they couldn't make many decisions, but I think the narrative voice is unnecessary.
Really? Okay. Like, that's interesting.
It's sort of I mean, it was good in the beginning, but then it came back in the end, and I was like, why are you stating the obvious? Like, yeah.
So do you want me to tell you what this was?
Sure.
So it was sort of intended as a pilot for a full series, but it was never necessarily intended to ever be a full series. It was produced as a standalone film for NBC as like an after-school educational special.
Yeah.
And it was broadcast in
although
the
UK as well.
Although
I don't know about the whole, like, oh, a rotating black hole
thing. Some of it. But but now that you think back, I certainly feel this when I watch it, some of the educational stuff is sort of shoehorned in and, like, really pushed in. Like, oh, why is Pluto blue? Well, let me tell you the whole reason about the Doppler shift and how all of that works. And, you know, oh, tell me more about Albert Einstein. Well, Albert Einstein worked on the
thing. Yeah, I wondered about the Albert Einstein, but I kind of took the other thing to be more like David and Jane kind of like having a bit of a competitive edge to each other. And like always, like she even sort of says, like, oh, aren't you a little smart Alex sort of thing.
But yeah, the whole thing was written and designed to be an educational film to talk about Albert Einstein's theory of relativity and to make it more easier to understand for kids. So, have you learned anything about the theory of relativity from watching this?
Not particularly. I already knew quite a bit about black holes and stuff. Okay. I was quite interested in that when I was a kid.
Okay.
And like supernovas and all that sort of thing. Right. But
I'm not a very sciencey person, so I couldn't tell you how much of that stuff was completely made up and how much of it.
I know that she likes to watch Nova and all that sort of thing all the time. So
you've picked up quite a bit. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Do you think your mother would like this? I think this would be bang up her alley, to be honest with you. I think this is great. But I think a lot of the Gerry Anderson shows would interest her as well. But maybe that's another podcast. Yeah. Watching Gerry Anderson shows with my mother-in-law. I think that would be great. But yeah, so, I mean, do you think it had potential to be a full series then? It was sort of talked about, but I don't know how much of a plan was put into it. I know that recently a new novel has been written, which I think expands on it. I haven't read it myself, but I think it kind of explores what would have gone on, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, they sort of hinted to the fact that there would be sort of other Earths out there and stuff like that, so I think it would be very, like, Star Trek-y and...
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially with, just, like, their whole mission sort of basically becoming, oh, we're going to go visit new worlds, because what else do we have to do now? We can never go home, poor us.
So, this was produced halfway between the first season of Space 1999 and the second season of Space 1999. Mm. The script writer behind it was one of the main writers on Space 1999. The star of it, the guy who plays Harry, Nick Tate, he was also one of the main actors in Space 1999. Brian Blessed was a guest actor in both the first and second season of Space 1999. There was a lot going on at that point. And indeed, the idea of them, if they'd gone off to explore new planets and stuff, that also would have kind of been in the same vein as what they were doing with Space 1999. So... in a way, I can kind of see why maybe they weren't that interested in evolving this concept into a full series, because they were kind of already doing it, and there are lots of crossovers already, but I don't really think the potential was there, and I like the family dynamic of it and everything. What did you think of when the spaceship was accelerating? And
all their faces go all jello-y. I want to know how they did that. It looks so uncomfortable.
I'm guessing it was just done with a large fan being blown in their faces. Very
heavy
powerful.
Fan, yeah.
And what about when they were actually going through the black hole at the end? And
that was
everyone
very,
does their best. Well, I don't even know
like
what they were doing.
Like Charlie in the Chocolate Factory.
Really?
Sort of, with just the,
all
like,
the optical
colors
effects
and
everything.
Effects and, I'm not quite sure what was going on there, though, because, like, in one scene you'd have, like, Jane and her father being torn away from each other, but then in the next little clip they would have, I don't even know what, Harry's mother.
No.
And she was, trying to, like, hug him, and it was like, oh, so you, what?
So that was David. David was the boy, Jane was the girl, Harry was the captain who was Jane's father, and then Tom and Anna were David's parents.
Okay, well then Anna and David.
David, yeah.
Yeah, like they were able to hug, like okay, and then it was... Anna was going all weird, and I don't know what was going on there. And then they were all just fine.
And what did you think about the acting generally?
The kids did
crazy acceleration acting aside, how do you think they all did?
The kids did pretty okay. Brian Blessed's always interesting and wonderful to watch.
Well, he's very restrained in
he
this.
Is actually,
that's what's quite
but
nice about it.
Still very recognizable, even though he's much younger than I think pretty much anything I've seen him in.
Yeah.
But yeah, generally it was quite good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Some people do say, oh, maybe the kids aren't great. I think they do. I think they do a very good job with the material that they've gotten.
The dog at the beginning. Leaving behind your dog. I couldn't do it. Why couldn't the dog come?
I don't know, to be honest. I think he probably would have drained a lot of resources that obviously he couldn't. That's just the thing. All the kids had jobs to do, so they were they were using resources, but also they were there in a functional role. I just don't think the dog was a functional character.
Okay, but
it's
I feel like
sad.
You've also got children again who are never going to have proper friends in their entire life. The least you can do is give them this unconditional love that a dog gives.
I think mostly the reason that all the stuff with the dog was in there was just to convey they're not coming back for a long time. You know, it is a lot to think about. Obviously, that dog's at some point on their journey, that dog's gonna die. At some point, all the parents are gonna die. I mean, it's kind of, if you think about it, really long term. Like, those kids are gonna have to bury their parents. Sail in deep space at some point. I mean, it really is. It's dark and it's crazy as a concept, but it's really interesting to explore just the idea of really deep space travel and never turning around and going back. Yeah, they were definitely trying to make it seem realistic by doing things like, no, you can't bring a dog with you, for goodness sake, you know.
But yeah, I'm sure they would never go there, but the fact that you have just two young people, and one's a man and one's a woman... it's like, oh, do you just let yourself sort of die off, or do you have a child? Or
it's interesting that they were given the choice of like, okay, well, we've done some work in Alpha Centauri, do you want to turn around and go home, or do you want to carry on? What would you do in that situation? Bear in mind, they've trained pretty much, sounds like, years and years and years to do this, and you're never going to get to do it again.
No, but... I don't know. I mean, I think for the kids' sake, if I was an adult there, I would have voted to go back, because they have their whole lives ahead of them. They can do a lot more than just this, whereas everyone else has presumably gotten to experience human things like dating and finishing school and like having friendships and having family and watching, you know, your friends turn into adult, like just so many like things that those kids will never get to experience.
Yeah.
Because presumably their entire lives are pretty much been geared toward this. So I feel like that was, I would go back. But if it was just me sort of thing, I'm not sure what I would choose. I don't know.
That's interesting. Yeah. No, I agree. It's a really interesting dilemma, and it's presented in a very grown up way. Because I think, it was very brave, and this is sort of the difference, and we'll come to this later on, but the difference between Space 1999 Year One is it tries to be very grown up and as realistic as it could possibly be in that situation, whereas Year Two is slightly more wacky and silly. And I think they try to go the route of trying to present it as realistically as possible. Obviously, there are unrealistic things that happen. But for the most part, these seem like fairly real decisions, and it seems like...
And I see why they made it, like, in the sense that, you know, as the adults, like, sure, it'd be fairly selfish, or selfless, rather, to be like, oh, let's go back and let these kids actually have real lives, albeit in the future. but, you know, in a more potentially real sense, they have the potential to do a lot of good out there.
Yeah,
these kids have pretty much already given up their lives for this, so they might as well continue doing so.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. So what about, like, the special effects? How do you think overall, like, the models and all that sort of thing?
Yeah, there's lots of colors and stuff. I think it looked quite good, and, you know, the movements were all... You didn't see any wires or anything like that, obviously.
No. Well, a lot of it would have been done with not to bore you too much, but a lot of it would have been done with double exposures, where they would have filmed the model craft and then rewound the film and exposed it again to put the star fields on and stuff like that. And that's how they kind of do the motion and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think it looked quite good. You know, as good as that sort of thing can look, really.
Yeah. But it's interesting the difference. I mean, compared with what we watched last week with new Captain Scarlet and, you know, all CGI, this had a combination of, obviously, models and then live action as well.
I think that worked quite well. Like,
Just
like it does in, you know, big things like Star Wars and stuff like that. Like, they obviously use very similar techniques of having big models and stuff. But, I thought it worked very well.
I mean, just to give you an idea, the live action stuff was filmed in about 10 days. The models took 6 weeks. So
it seems like a very long time.
Yes. And again, bearing in mind, this would have been right in between doing Space Year One and Space Year Two. So I think it's pretty much all the same team. It's certainly Brian Johnson doing the special effects and everything. So they were kind of geared up and ready to go on this. And yeah, I think it all comes together really nicely. Yeah. And I think the concept and the story is just really, yeah, really, really something different, you know. Yeah. And it's not, there aren't, obviously there's lots of Gerry Anderson shows that focus on family units, but actually we haven't had anything like that since Thunderbirds, really, where you've actually had a family. I think I'm right in thinking that. Oh, I guess Joe 90 has father and son things going
Both of those relationships are very unorthodox, though.
Yeah, yeah. It
especially
is,
Joe 90.
It is unusual. I will say this, and it's something that will come up a lot, is mothers don't feature very much in Gerry Anderson series. Yeah. Stingray, Atlanta's mother is never mentioned. The Tracys, their mother is never mentioned. No. At least Jeff's mother is mentioned, but otherwise, Joe's mother passed away and died. In this show, you do have Tom and Anna are a partner, but yeah, Harry, like Jane's mother, never mentioned, doesn't come up for whatever reason. I'm sure that's something that could have been gone into. Maybe, I don't know, maybe she objected to going out into space with them and they split up because of that, or maybe there's something else going on. But yeah, that's definitely a theme that runs through a lot of Anderson shows, is the absent mother. I yes. suppose, if you want to sort of...
Oh, Freud would have a field day.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's difficult to necessarily pick too much out of this one, because it is very much a standalone thing. Yeah, as I say, there aren't... I don't know of any ideas or plans that were discussed for more episodes of it. But it definitely could have... I think it could have gone on to be more, and I would have liked to have seen more episodes. I think they probably would have been different from this one, because suddenly they're in a whole new universe. And
well, I liked too what they did with like the colors once they came out of the black hole. Everything was
sort
of black and white
to
very extremely colorful.
Yeah,
and, like they made like an nice, actual difference.
It looked like a nice place to be.
It did.
It could have been. They could have been very like. It could have gone with a different approach of trying to make it seem like quite a hostile, you know, suddenly they are, you know, complete aliens in this new universe, and it could have been very dystopian and, you know, dark, and it's interesting that they try to give it a happy ending.
Yeah.
And I think that
Well, I mean, they just made it through black holes. I think they needed to get, especially if this is for kids, they need to give you something nice out of it. Black holes are scary.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you think of, like, how the, like, there was the sequence with the red giant? How do you think that looked? Did that look like a plausible threat to you? Did that sun
look... I thought
look...
that the, like, sun flare sort of things coming off of it actually looked very good.
Yeah.
When they were sort of like, ooh, supernova. Yeah, it did. I mean, Pluto didn't look like anything particularly special, but I did appreciate that Pluto was in there. My millennial self will never get over the fact that Pluto is no longer considered a planet.
Yeah.
It is a planet.
Yeah, it definitely was back in the day. Yeah, it's interesting. Pluto had really only just been discovered, I think, at that stage. It was sort of, I think, certainly the early 1900s that Pluto was discovered. So, anyway. But yeah, it's... I do still find it funny how, yeah, forced in some of the educational stuff was. Like, at the very end, did you see the E equals MC squared thing at the end? Did that really tie into what happened at the very end? Like, I
did think it was weird that they kept mentioning Einstein. Like, I was like, what's the whole why?
Why are they
did
so
we have
obsessed?
Like a sudden obsession, Jerry? Like...
Yeah, I mean. In many ways, the way they go, well, E equals MC squared, you can't travel faster than light, is proven, yes, in a rather unfortunate way of, well, now you can't go home. If you'd been able to travel faster than light, you would have been able to escape the black hole and thus, you know, would have been saved. But, haha, Einstein was right. Sucks to be you, sort of thing. But yeah, no,
overall, it was quite good, I think.
Yeah. So, but that was the first live-action Gerry Anderson thing that we've watched. Well, not ever, but in as part of this podcast. Yes. How does that make you feel about the other things that we have to look forward to? Because I know you said originally you weren't so interested in the live action shows, so how does that make you feel going into things like Space 1999, which was done right around this same period?
I mean, yeah, I guess I'm obviously gonna give them a chance because I'm gonna watch them, but there's also just one hit wonder sometimes.
So we'll see. You think this was a one hit wonder?
I know a lot of people really like Space 1999, especially for like the Eagle and things like that. So, I mean, I know I'm not going to be that interested in the Eagle because I'm not really that into the vehicles and spacecrafts and stuff. But,
yeah.
We'll see. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Okay, then. Well, I think we should probably wrap this up. So, out of 10, what do you give The Day After Tomorrow Into Infinity?
I'll give it a 6 because it was better than I thought it would be.
Was it better than New Captain Scarlet, though? That's sort of what you're saying. You enjoyed it more.
I mean, I was impressed with it. I think, you know, it was an original idea. I think they, you know, considering it's supposed to be educational, they did it quite well.
Okay.
So,
yeah. All right. Well, fair enough. Well, yes, I very much enjoy it. You can pick up The Day After Tomorrow Into Infinity on the Lost Worlds of Gerry Anderson DVD. And I would definitely recommend it. I think it's very good, and it's a shame in a way. I definitely would have loved to have seen a full series of it, but oh well, that's the way things work out sometimes, and particularly with Gerry Anderson things, there's a lot of odd starts and things that don't quite match up. But yeah, there you go. That's a bit of an oddity, but I'm glad that you embraced it so wholeheartedly of diving, considering your other options were very safe things like Supercar and Joe 90. You just went for it.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what we come up with next week. But thank you very much for listening. If you want to follow Security Hazard on Facebook, you can find us there. I'm also on Twitter at Security Hazard. And then, of course, the Security Hazard blog is securityhazard.wordpress.com. And you can also email us sec.hazard.pod@gmail.com. And I think that's it.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else?
Look forward to next week.
All right, let's see what we come up with. So thank you very much for watching, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.